Burger Show. Welcome, sir, to the program. It's good to talk with you.
Hi.
And in this corner, weighing in with his take on current events, the smarty of the party, the mighty Mike from the right, the heavyweight of debate, the man who's in cahoots with the grassroots, the broadcaster master, Jimmy Sangenberger.
Saturday night is always all right for the Jimmy Sangenberger Show right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. I want to get right to our continuation of the series we've been running on introductions to the U.S. Senate candidates. There are five candidates running on the Republican side for the United States Senate. We've talked with Jack Graham, Daryl Glenn, and Robert Blaha. Next week, we will speak with Ryan Frazier. And tonight, we've got John Kaiser, former state representative and a military veteran, who joins us now here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Welcome, sir, to the program. It's good to talk with you.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks. It's great to be with you.
So I want to start off with a couple of questions that I've been asking every one of our candidates. And the first one is, just tell us about yourself. Who is John Kaiser?
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And, well, I guess, you know, the big thing that separates me, I think, from a lot of the candidates running here is that I'm a Coloradan. I grew up on the western slope of Colorado in the Durango and Bayfield area. I went to high school in Montrose. I graduated from the Air Force Academy, and when I graduated from the academy, 9/11 had already happened, and of course we had two ground wars going on, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. And so I volunteered to serve on the ground and served as a member of a special operations team in Iraq, and later served in Afghanistan. In Iraq, we were focused on capturing or killing members of Al-Qaeda or the Iranian-backed insurgency. So certainly very important work, and I think some very important work that really kind of informs my worldview when we're talking about a lot of the different issues on foreign policy and national security, because I am a career intelligence officer. I continue to serve in the Air Force Reserve. As you mentioned, I was in the House of Representatives and also attended DU Law School and was a business lawyer, and that experience gave me really a lot of ability to understand, you know, when the pen meets the paper, how people and how businesses make material decisions based on things that get talked about and things that get discussed in Washington, D.C. I certainly understand navigating risk and finding access to capital, making sure that you're understanding the regulatory environment in order to have a predictable business environment. So, you know, really on all of those three areas, you know, generally, I believe that I am the only fiscal conservative in this race. I believe that I'm a proven fiscal conservative. And I also believe that I'm the only one that understands foreign policy and national security. And I think the number one job of the federal government is national security and defense. In fact, I know it, because that's also what our framers thought. They thought that was the most important job. And that's really where my focus is, national security and economic security.
So I want to ask you next then, sort of along the lines of what you were just saying, you're running for United States Senate, one of five in this field. Why are you running for that position to take on Michael Bennett and hopefully defeat him?
You know, it's very apparent to me that Michael Bennett is a third generation Washington politician, and he will say one thing in Colorado and always do with the president's bidding in Washington, D.C. I mean, he's got to be tired because he's always carrying around the president's baggage. 98% of the time, he's voted with the president and with Harry Reid. So he's been one of the most partisan, if not the most partisan, representatives that we've had at the federal level, maybe in the history of Colorado. And I really truly think that when you look at his support for the Iran deal, when you look at his support for the president's plan of closing Guantanamo Bay, when you look at the fact that he's refused to agree to common sense measures to screen refugees coming into this country, when you look at the fact that our national debt has nearly doubled under his tenure in Washington, D.C., when you look at the fact that there were 60 votes necessary to pass Obamacare, and Michael Bennett voted for Obamacare. Actually, he thought it should be also passed with a public option. so it wasn't quite liberal enough for him. He wanted a more socialized form of Obamacare. When you add up just even those things themselves, it's very apparent that Michael Bennett does not understand Colorado. And frankly, I think we deserve a United States senator in Colorado that understands the threats that we face at home and abroad and is ready to do what's necessary to keep our country safe and secure and economically prosperous. And that's what I'm ready to do.
We're talking with John Kaiser, candidate for the United States Senate. I want to get to substantive issues in just a moment, particularly national security. Given your background and experience, I think that's a very interesting area to touch on. I do want to take just a moment. I think I'd be remiss not to give you a chance to say I've been reading in the Denver Post. I saw comments that you made in regards to these allegations about fraudulent signatures that have been put forward on your petitions, about 13 or so suspect along those lines. What can you tell us about that?
Sure. I'm happy to talk about that. You know, what happened was, just like every other statewide candidate that runs, my campaign hired a company to help us navigate probably the most complicated process to get onto a ballot in the entire United States. Out of any of the states, Colorado's probably the most difficult. So we hired a company. That company hired another company, and that company, acting as a subcontractor, hired an employee who passed their background check and went through their training, but apparently it looks like may have forged some signatures. And that woman, acting on behalf of the subcontractor, it's my understanding that no one has been able to find her. But those are very serious allegations, and, you know, I take them seriously, and what she did was certainly wrong, but it doesn't take away from the fact that we have hundreds more signatures than were required, than were necessary. And, you know, what's really kind of concerning to me about that is, you know, the Democrats and the liberal-leaning media here in the Denver area have been overjoyed, frankly, to talk about anything except for Michael Bennett's failed record. You know, during the same week when a lot of this stuff about this woman who was hired by the subcontractor was in the news, Michael Bennett was over on the Western Slope, where I grew up, and he told the Grand Junction Sentinel editorial board that he understands how devastating Obamacare has been for Colorado families, but he doesn't have any answers. That was literally a quote. He doesn't have any answers for us here in Colorado, and that didn't get covered at all. So it's really apparent to me that, you know, the liberal media wants to make sure they're not talking about Michael Bennett or his failed record. They want to talk about anything but that. And so I think it was a pretty good indicator in your talk radio. And a lot of people have been coming up to me and saying, you know, John, it's very apparent that the Democrats are only worried about one person facing Michael Bennett, and that's you. So I think that's probably the case.
Speaking of Michael Bennett and his record, the Iran deal is something that you mentioned, and I've been talking about it with each of our candidates running for United States Senate on the Republican side. What is it about the Iran deal that really frustrates you personally to be so opposed to it?
Well, frankly, you know, for me, it is personal. I mean, when I talk about Iran, I'm not talking about a foreign policy magazine or something I saw on TV or a briefing I received. It's very personal because these are guys that I fought, and they've killed my friends. So I understand that there is good and there is evil in this world, and the Iranian regime is evil. It is evil. And when we talk about the Iran deal, I can't even call it a deal, because what it really was a giveaway. The Iranians were allowed a clear path to a nuclear weapon, which we know, but it did so many other things too. It also freed up $150 billion in sanctions relief to the world's largest state sponsor of terror in the entire, you know, in the entire world. So I think about if someone in Colorado would have sent money to a terrorist organization, they would have been sent to prison. But Michael Bennett voted with the president to help free up $150 billion to the largest state sponsor of terror in the entire world. To me, it's absolutely immoral. And, you know, it did something else too that I think gets overlooked. In Colorado here, when our energy economy is struggling a little bit, the Iran deal allowed Iran to put an additional 1 million barrels of oil per day on the global markets. So it's strengthening Iran's regime. It's strengthening their economy. And frankly, I believe that Michael Bennett has done more for the economy in Iran than he has for the economy in Colorado. And that's very, very concerning.
Which issue, I've asked this to the other candidates, and I think it's a very apt question, it's a broad one, which issue do you think is facing this country that is the most significant, if you could pick one?
Well, I like I mentioned earlier, I think the most significant issue is the fact that the number one job of our federal government is national security and defense. And our federal government has been doing so many different things and not doing a lot of them well, but so many different things, and we've lost focus on national security and defense. And I think we've got to go back to that. You know, Michael Bennett won't say radical Islamic terrorist. Michael Bennett is just like Barack Obama in that he won't even identify the enemy that we're fighting. I've identified the enemy that we're fighting because I fought them in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and other places. I understand this enemy, and I know what it takes to defeat them. So I think that it's very important at a time when we've been at war for the longest prolonged period in the history of our nation. It's important to note that we have the smallest percentage ever of people serving in the federal government that have served in the military and have been to war. It's smaller than it's ever been in our nation's history right now. And that's really concerning because I think that we need people who understand this enemy and that have been to war, because when you've been to war, you know that war is the last resort. You know, not everyone who serves in the military is just a war hawk. You know, when you've been to war, you know that war is the last resort. But sometimes you do have to go to war. And when you do it with overwhelming force. You meet your objectives and you leave. You get out. And until you have those plans in place, you don't do it. And so I think it's important to have leaders that will stand up and make the case for, yes, this is a good idea. No, this is not a good idea. I've been asked a number of times, you know, what should we do with the expansion of ISIS, what should we do in Syria? And people have asked me, you know, right now, should we be sending more ground troops to Syria? And I always say the same thing. Absolutely not. Under this president, absolutely not. We don't have a plan. General Conway, who was the former commandant of the Marine Corps, and he led the combined invasion into Iraq, said that President Obama's plan in Syria has not a snowball's chance in hell. Now, General Conway endorsed my campaign. He understands that I understand these national security issues, unlike anyone else in this field. And I think that that's very important that we talk about national security because, frankly, you can't have economic security without first having national security.
Certainly agree with that point. John Kaiser is a candidate for United States Senate. He's with us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We're up against a hard break. When we come back, I want to talk about a few domestic issues in the remaining time we have left with John Kaiser. As we continue on News Talk 710 KNUS, don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more ahead.
You've been lied to. Lied to by corrupt Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine. Hi, I'm Inc. magazine best-selling author Brett Kitchen, and I want to give you a free copy of my brand new book, Wealth Beyond Wall Street, because we all know another market crash could be right around the corner. After losing 35% in my IRA in the crash years ago, I said enough, and since then I discovered a way to grow money potentially double digits, reduce taxes dramatically, and also have my money protected when the next stock market crash hits. When the next market crash hits, you lose nothing. Call Wealth Beyond Wall Street now to get your free copy and talk with a specialist to discover this little-known strategy to get potential double-digit growth during good years and never lose when the next stock market crash hits, all while building a tax-advantaged retirement. Call 800-570-9898 to discover this asset that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to grow wealthy. Plus, get one of just 97 free books left. We even cover shipping and handling, no credit card required. Call 800-570-9898. That's 1-800-570-9898. 1-800-570-9898.
Hi, Peter Boyles. I'm in my 70s now, and I really feel better than ever. I've had bypass surgery, come away from drugs and alcohol. All these things aside, the most amazing thing that's happened to me in these last couple years is meeting our great family friend, physician MD, Dr. Julie McCallan. She's changed my life, my daughter's life. She's a gifted healer, changing the lives of so many people. When everything has gone wrong in my life, she made an enormous difference in me, physically and emotionally. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Julie McCallan.
Thanks, Peter. Just because we're getting older does not mean we can no longer do what we did in our 30s. Getting older does not have to be a horrible thing. Let me help you to feel energized, sleep through the night, and continue your active lifestyle well into your 90s. If at 52 I can actually lift more than my college athlete daughter, so can you. Call today to begin your journey back to health with my team at Cenogenics Denver.
I'm so sure you'll become a fan and a friend of Dr. McAllen's if you do this one simple thing. Call her, 720-387-3681. My word on it, she'll change your life. 720-387-3681.
Has your child or grandchild been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD? Are they struggling in school? Well, give that child a life they deserve. Chronic Conditions Center of Colorado and Dr. Chris Steiner offer a drug-free solution that the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends.
We brought my daughter into Dr. Steiner because she was diagnosed with ADD. We spent 4 years trying different medications to no effect or benefit and went through the integrative medicine. And she no longer is on her ADD medicine, is performing better in school, and is a totally different kid from our perspective. And we can't thank Dr. Steiner enough.
So give your child their life back. Call Dr. Steiner at 303-660-2668 or visit them online at chronicconditionsco.com. That's chronicconditionsco.com.
Jimmy Singenberger, News Talk 710 KNUS.
A little Luther Allison for you with the best bumper music known to man. It is the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We're continuing our series of introductory interviews with the U.S. Senate candidates. And I want to go back to John Kaiser, our fourth in this series. Next week, we've got Ryan Frazier. John Kaiser, I want to talk about domestic issues, particularly economic policy. If you were to serve in the United States Senate, what types of economic policies would you particularly like to focus on?
Well, I think there's a few big topics that we've got to address as conservatives. Number one, we've got to look at tax reform. Number two, we've got to get spending under control. Number three, we've got to repeal so many of the regulations that are just choking out businesses in Colorado and around the United States. So, you know, I guess first starting on our national debt and our spending, you know, it's as a father of two young kids, you know, I just really think about, you know, somebody sent me a YouTube clip here not too long ago about, it was on the 2010 race, and it was actually Michael Bennett standing up on a stage, and he was saying in 2010, when he was running for the Senate, he said, you know, we've got to do something about this enormous national debt. And this was in 2010. Of course, we know he did do something about our national debt. He doubled it. It's almost doubled in the time that he's been in the United States Senate. And to me, it's an issue of morality because my kids, Jack and Eleanor, they're already assigned about $65,000 of their share of our national debt. And if interest rates rise and if we keep spending at these levels, we will bury our future. We'll bury our kids and grandkids in debt, and they'll never be able to have the opportunities that we had growing up, that we had in order to start our professional lives and get our families going. So that's really concerning to me. We've got to get a hold of our national debt. On the tax side, I think that we've got to have tax reform both on the corporate tax and on the personal income tax side. I think that's really important because they really do go hand in hand, and it's not fair just to fix the corporate tax because businesses that are taxed as C corporations certainly need tax reform, but they have armies of lawyers and accountants that make sure that they pay the littlest amount of tax as possible. And actually, some of the largest corporations in the United States pay almost zero in tax, despite the fact that we have about a 40% corporate tax rate, because they've lobbied so hard for a bunch of loopholes and exemptions and credits so that they can get their tax liability all the way down. But the small businesses, which are the LLCs and the S-Corps, the pass-through tax entities, which get taxed at the personal income tax rate, they are absolutely struggling right now. And we've got to make sure we focus on tax reform there, too. And my philosophy is fairer, flatter, and simpler. There's a lot of proposals, but fairer, flatter, and simpler is what I will be pushing for. And as I've traveled thousands of miles around the state of Colorado and talking to everyone, not a single person has said to me, John, hey, you know, I like what you have to say on national security and foreign policy. I like the fact that you want to get rid of Obamacare. And
that you want to reel in the regulatory state that we've got in this country. But, hey, just don't touch the income tax don't touch the income tax situation we have in at the federal level. I love that. Nobody says that. It's a populist issue, and we need to tackle it.
So
I think we will have failed as Republicans if we don't.
I want to jump in right there. When you talk about the corporate income tax, then what would you do? Just close up those loopholes, or would you also be looking at reducing the 35 or so percent corporate income tax rate that we have that is the highest in the world?
Yeah, it really is. And so, you know, KPMG says the effective rate is about 40%. And what we do need to do is we have to start with some basic concepts. Number one, we have to allow the funds that are sitting overseas to be repatriated into this country, because we know when that money gets infused back into our economy, it will result in more jobs. It'll result in more development, and it'll result in more economic prosperity for Coloradans. So the first thing we need to do is have a holiday where we say, okay, if you're a large corporation and you're parking money overseas right now because you don't want to bring it back into the country due to our high income tax rate, we're going to have a timeout on that. You can bring that money back. And then at the same time, we have to lower the rate, because if we don't, the same thing will continue to happen. We'll see corporate inversions where companies will do a merger with an unrelated company in a foreign country like Ireland, and then suddenly be moving their operations out of the country completely. So we've got to lower the rate. We've got to make sure we repatriate the funds that are sitting offshore. And that will really do a lot for our economy.
We're talking with John Kaiser. He is a candidate for U.S. Senate on the Republican side. And unfortunately, we are just a minute away from being out of time. So I've been in talks with your folks at the campaign. I've been talking with other candidates who are running for the United States Senate. Would love to have you back again for a longer form conversation in studio. If that is something we can arrange, are you down for it?
We'd certainly love to do that, Jimmy. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and to speak to your loyal listeners today, and I would love to do it again. And if people are looking for more information, I'd love to have them go to my website. It's johnkaiser.com. JohnKaiser.com. So JohnKaiser.com, or on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever social media platform you want to use, I would love to communicate with you there.
All right, John Kaiser, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I look forward to having you back in the next month as we near the June 28th primary date.
Thanks again, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Once again, John Kaiser, the fourth in our series. We've had on Jack Graham, Daryl Glenn, and last week, Robert Blaha, then Kaiser tonight. And next week, Ryan Frazier will join us. And then we are talking with each campaign. So far, everyone who's joined us has said, sure, we'll go ahead and do a longer form interview, give you a chance to delve into greater depth. I'm working on a few plans for how we're going to structure that in terms of timing and when we do it. But we will be arranging these interviews for closing in on the June 28th primary. We've got a lot more ahead. Don't go anywhere.